What's this 900? Well, everybody's all excited. You just, you also said.
Are you kidding me?
The 900 is.
I would never made that. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best day of my life. I swear to God.
But then you bring in Satan into this, into the branding and all that. You were a skateboarder in the 90s, skated with, they call him the Birdman, is it? Tony Hawk?
Hey, what's up? I'm Tony Hawk, and today...
This is the DJ.
Assalamu alaikum, Zayn. How you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, Eddie. How's it going, brother?
Good, alhamdulillah. So we were talking a little bit about the glasses.
Yes, yes.
So tell us, fill us in on why you prefer to wear the glasses.
To be quite honest, I'm a technical guy by trade. Went to computer science in 2002. However, prior to that, my life in skateboarding was sort of an anonymous type of lifestyle. It was better to be anonymous at that point.
Yeah.
Skateboarding in the late 80s, early 90s was sort of a rebellious activity, and it was sort of like punk rock, I guess, that type of genre of lifestyle. So people looked upon us a little strangely. So at those points, we had a lot of run-ins with security guards and things. So it became habitual to sort of not reveal your name in a certain way. But nowadays, we all know with these new Netflix things exposing what's happening on with social media taking all your data, it's sort of just a privacy thing. It's sort of just a preference. Not hiding myself from other people, I wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, your image is getting scanned and things like that. It's a we're all sort of.
I like what you said. I mean, keeping your family safe, not putting, in this day and age, people are just putting everything online. But you also avoid having your children and your family online. I mean, you have a lot of even celebrities who are up to that. They don't allow their kids. And the family, a lot do, but you have also, many that don't. So you prefer, and that's, I think, safer route. I mean, protect from
it is. I'm not trying to fall into the trap of doing selfies all the time and becoming some vainglory person, right? Which is, again, I'm a type of guy as a skateboarder. Like I said, growing up, we were sort of anti-mainstream at that point. So this sort of mindset is still in my head, where I see a lot of people playing on the phones, playing on the tablets, and playing, entertaining themselves and staring at other people's lives. You know what I mean? It's sometimes we have to use the computer as a tool and not a toy, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always a play toy. And to make that distinction, I think is clear. There has to be a point where, taking selfies of yourself, you have to reflect on that in a way where it's not very productive in a way, right? So.
Did the Deen play any part of that? Because you do have, obviously, in the Deen, you have the evil eye, you have hasad, you have these things. Did that concern you at the same time?
It did, actually. From my early days in Islam here, so 10 years ago, I was hearing, some brothers, they were mentioning during Ramadan, during Eid, some brothers don't like their picture taken, so be careful of that. And I heard a couple lectures as well about people discussing, the pros and cons of taking pictures of yourself and whether Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, would engage in this type of behavior, right? Now, some people keep it for remembrance or memoirs, and some people are doing it really just for the likes and the fan base, so to speak, right? There's no real purpose other than they want gratification in a way, right? They're lusting after that like or that comment or something, right? And I don't follow that trend. I don't need that type of admiration, right? So
it's a good reminder for all of us.
Inshallah.
Tell us, so you were skating with the likes, you were a skateboarder in the 90s, skated with they call him the Birdman, is it? Tony Hawk
the Birdman. Yeah, he used to do demos all around before he was really famous for his video games and his the 900 and all the things he's done. He has done quite a bit for skateboarding, obviously, as an ambassador. But he's just a regular guy back in the 90s. He wasn't famous where we would attack him. It was a roller rink in the Toronto area where he would do demonstrations. And we went there and, we met Tony Hawk face-to-face and a bunch of other big names back then. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, it was a tight-knit circle back there, so to speak.
At what age did you start skateboarding?
I started skateboarding in at the age of 12, I believe, was my first mm-hmm. board. First
yeah.
professional board, though, was, I think, 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a run, right? The kids at the skate park still ask me today, it's have that younger look. So how long have you been skating? And I, you know, I'm saying, you know, 30 years, bro.
So is he like, is Tony Hawk, for those that don't know, is he like the Michael Jordan, LeBron James of skateboarding?
Exactly. He's the, you know, when you say skateboarding, extreme sports, he's the spokesman nowadays for skateboarding, right? So I think everybody who's 40 and under knows who Tony Hawk is for sure. The video game is one of the most worldwide selling video games. He just re-released another one, and he's always in the limelight for something, right?
I want you to, you shared something with us, and I want you to take us through this. We're going to go through this video together.
Yeah.
We're going to help you educate us a little bit on this. And there's one part of it that actually caught my attention.
Never before in history competition have we seen a 900. 900! Oh! You guys want to see the 900?
What's this 900? They're all, everybody's all excited, and you just, you also said it, the 900.
The 900 is it's in terms of the degrees of the spin. So a 360 is a one circle, a 720 is two circles, and a 900 is two and a half circles. So mm-hmm. he did two and a half rotations in the air, and before that, you know, the 720 was the big move, and the 900 had never been done, and that was the first time the 900 had been done, so it was a huge thing.
So that was like spinning three times,
two and a half times
yeah.
since a few years ago they've progressed, and they've done the three rotations. So the 900 is two and a half rotations on the skateboard in the air.
Someone's gotten three, so he did two and a half. Someone's gotten to three,
and there's a 13-year-old who did three and a half, I think. So he did like a 1440, it's called, right? So it's progressing rapidly at this point, where kids are playing the video games, and they have that sort of edge that they can visualize the trick. And as a martial artist yourself, I know we do a lot of thinking
uh-huh.
and preparation prior to you know, entering a match or entering a contest. We're visualizing what we're going to do based on the opponent and his the tape or something that we watch, right? So
yeah, let's keep going through this.
Tony was either gonna make it or kill himself trying.
900 with him is
so. This is Tony Hawk.
Deep.
This is him.
Trying it so many
this
times.
Him, this seems to be him quite a few years ago. But actually, this was X Games, I believe, 2001 is when he made this happen, right? When he actually landed it and rolled away. Yeah, so I think he had some time, obviously. I think he was practicing it behind the scenes before this uh-huh. competition. However, obviously, it's hit or miss. It's you go for it, or you're gonna be laying at the bottom of the ramp. And he did it.
So here he missed. He didn't
missed
make it.
It.
Yeah, he missed it.
Yeah.
But he got
to... So these are all other celebrity skateboarders you're seeing.
Where is this? In California? Is that like the Mecca of skateboarding? Borders.
Yeah, I think they're in San Diego, which is the quote Mecca of skateboarding. So you see here, they're sort of doing some, like, it looks like almost magic on the guy. They're trying to give him the Holy Spirit or something, but most of them are not religious, so I don't really understand that, right? So uh-huh. I think it's more of a showmanship type of thing that they're doing right now.
So yeah that's the interesting part, like they're trying to do some voodoo on him or something.
Right,
so
they're doing voodoo.
Yeah.
Correct.
Look, yeah, you see it, look.
Well, yeah, he's just, you know, it takes a lot out of you when you're slamming and you know, you're trying this. It's a lot of effort. So I do understand that he's
so he got he's, it now.
I think he tries it right here and he ends up getting it. Yeah. And then they go wild and there's a little speech and there it is after the aftermath. So he's a big influence. I mean, everybody's favorite skater. He's the, you know, the sort of the unwritten sort of ambassador, president, so to speak, of skateboarding, right?
Uh-huh. So this is the part now,
right?
Where he says,
"Thank you. This is the best day of my life. I swear to God."
Yeah, it's funny. I seen that sometime after it happened, and then you know, I realized he said, "I swear to God," right? And I've heard other skaters say this on.
Did he say, "I swear to God"?
No, he said, "I swear the God," which is strange. I haven't heard this.
Wait, hold on. Is that what he said? Let me back that up. Hold on.
I swear to God.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just like his accent. It's hard to totally make out. So go ahead. So what do you think? What is your analysis?
Either way, if he's saying, it's the best day of my life, I swear to God. I mean, a lot of people use this casually, just to sort of emphasize their point, right? Mm-hmm. I swear to God, they're not religious, but when you ask them about it, they're not religious. It's just, even Joe Rogan, we see Joe Rogan do it time and time again.
Yeah.
Or when they're doing a UFC fight, oh my God, he's knocked out. And we know these guys are sort of proclaimed atheists or deists or something like this, right? So yeah. I thought it was strange. And so I did a little back checking and found out, what about Tony's religion? What are people saying about him and this and that? So what it came down to was it seemed like he was an atheist. And in most of the places it's mentioning he's an atheist. And I do recall prior to, it may be buried on the internet somewhere, but a interview with him mentioning that he believes in, something that isn't religion, right? So there's all these different methods that people want to say they don't believe in God and make it sort of politically correct where it doesn't really offend anyone, which is good when you're a big brand like Tony, right? So mm-hmm. You don't want to offend anybody.
But you have, because you grew up skateboarding, you know the industry, you know the people, you know what it's all about from the skateboarding, but also the lifestyle that goes with it. So when you have a lot of youth coming up and many parents, they're just oblivious to a lot of these things. So we want to get the inside scoop mm-hmm. of skateboarding and the lifestyle. So let's talk about that. You mentioned that the majority, is it true, of skateboarders are atheists?
Would you say? I would say the higher up on the totem pole you go, that it would be this.
This is off your experience of skateboarding for all these years and being around the skateboarders? And
yeah, I mean, in general, it's sort of... it's a counterculture. Skateboarding is a sub counterculture, as they call it, right? Like the kids who are skateboarders, I wouldn't say necessarily every kid that's a skateboarder is an atheist, but I would say the higher you go up the totem pole of the industry, you'll find people become more distant from God or religion or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the significance of that ratio is, but. Yeah, in general, what you see is more of a devil-worshipping side of the branding side of skateboarding, right? So the higher-ups are the ones who make the decisions on what graphics are going to be on the board, how are we going to dress this season when they do their clothing lines, what symbolism is going to be on the shirts. This is all drafted in big distribution companies that have an arts department and things like that, which is a very tight-knit family of people around my age and your age who grew up in the 80s and 90s who ended up inheriting the whole skateboarding industry, right? Yeah. Or being part of the absolute elite part of the skateboard industry. So again, out of San Diego, pretty much everything comes out of that area with regards to skateboarding.
Yeah. So now that's interesting because in much of the logos and you'll see like the satanic looking emblems and that, but then have you seen people going down that route of because why, that's the question, why is it all over the skull and bones and these kind of emblems? Why are they in the paraphernalia that they sell and their logos? Why do you think that is?
I think because in the early times of skateboarding, it was surfers and rejects, basically. These are society's rejects, and society's rejects were attracted to a lifestyle of sort of degeneracy, right? So punk rock and alcohol and womenizing and everything that goes along with that, living dirty, eating dirty, all of the above. So the skull and crossbones became something recognizable in the 80s, which is sort of synonymous with maybe the heavy metal days as well. That sort of is synonymous with that too, with the pentagram and Metallica and those types of bands. So that sort of fuses with skateboarding. So punk and metal, it has sub genres within skateboarding as well. So you'll have this hip hop class of skateboarder. You'll have a punk rock class, an alternative class. So there's all these different fused appeals that you can brand to these different subgenres as well, right? So, but yes, if you walk into any skate shop and you're a parent, and you know the difference between something of a lewd graphic and something that is, you know, funny versus something which is satanic, right? You can look up on the wall and there'll be 60 different skateboards, and you'll see 10 of them have some sort of skull and crossbones or very openly satanic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Which maybe we could talk further about.
Yeah, so if you mention, so because I really, I don't believe that anybody is born an atheist or even somebody who goes into this kind of lifestyle. You kind of just have to, because your conscience is there and your fitra, your innate nature, to want to worship something. So then you got to kind of mask that. So people just, you know, try to cover up that natural belief. But then you bring in Satan into this, into the branding and all that. But if then, you know, I've talked and spoken to a lot of people, and this is what convinced them that there is a God, is that, you know, if there's a devil, if there is, and you see all this evil that's happening in the world, there has to be a God, a creator. So it's just interesting that they, that now even in what you would think is innocent, my child or my, you know, is coming up with the skateboarding, parents and we just people in general have to be careful, would you say, you know, because, okay, it's one thing you're skateboarding in the backyard, but now if you really get into the group culture and the skateboarding culture, it could be very dangerous, would you say?
I'd say it depends. Like I said, there's bad apples everywhere,
yeah,
right? But I mean, if you have a good group of friends, which my son, we go to the skate park like almost every day. It's actually snowing up here in Canada now, so I think the skate season is over. But we sort of pick and choose the nice kids. We find the kids that have decent habits, and we try to stick with them. And the ones that don't, we try to give them a little bit of a good influence. We try to pump them up a bit. We know that they're coming from broken homes and strange environments. And that's what it comes down to with parents, is you're sending your kid to an environment, whether it's a baseball field, a hockey rink, or you know, the mats in a gym, the skate park. You have to sort of guide your kid before you send them in there, and know that like this environment has certain aspects and terrains that I have to know myself as a parent what's really going on in there, right?
Yeah.
What kind of music is associated with skateboarding? Are these kids swearing every 5 seconds? How is this going to affect my child? These are questions. I see a lot of parents at the skate park, and I'm skating around. You know, it gives me an excuse as a 40-year-old guy to run around, right? So they normally sit there and they're just playing on their phones, right? And I get to the point where it's like, you know, this isn't a phone playing. You should be watching your kid. You should be paying attention to your kid. You should be showing your kid that you care about this hobby, and you're not just staring at your phone like a drone, right? Yeah. And it's not a good influence to me in an active space for people to be doing something like playing on the phone, which is very, it's harming, to be quite frank, right? It's not progressive or creative. It's very lazy. It's lax.
So not necessarily that skateboarding is something bad, but now if you get deeper into the culture, it can be,
yes,
it could be something that could be dangerous.
Right. So this is the sort of disclaimer to parents is, yeah, your kid is going to read certain magazines or watch certain channels on YouTube.
Okay. So we're talking about, that's when you get into the literature, because they got their websites, literature, and the whole philosophy, YOLO, you only live once.
YOLO. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's the sort of throw up your horns type of thing. I don't like to do the symbol with my hand, and I don't recommend anyone really doing that symbol out of fun or otherwise, but this is sort of the thing. You're throwing your body around. You're a skateboarder. Obviously, you know, you have to look at what the sport is and see it for what it is. It's people, it's grown men throwing themselves down huge flights of stairs and, you know, landing on solid concrete. Like even football players, at least you have a little padding when you're hitting the ground, right?
Yeah.
On a football field, it takes a toll on you. You're going to hit your head. There's all these other things. And at the same time, it's a huge environment of an eclectic group of people. So you have to know your friends, the parents. You should meet those friends. You should sit and talk with them. You should find out, even talk to the parents. I talk to the parents at the skate park to see how is this kid being raised, for example. And it gives me a chance to talk to them about why my kid is so well behaved, or why why I'm here paying attention to my kid all the time so diligently, right? So it gives people a chance, and parents, especially during this whole pandemic thing, we should be going outside and meeting each other. This should never stop, to be quite honest, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to meet and have an excuse to meet other parents, and it seems as a culture, as humanity nowadays, where we're divided to the point where, you know, I used to help old ladies as a child just cross the road, and that type of mentality, saying please and thank you and basic manners, is seemingly disappearing, and that comes from in the home. So we even try to instill some of those please and thank yous to kids at the skate park, just to give them, it's their habit that they're swearing and they're rude and things like that. So you have to show them another habit, a habitual way of life, that will clean them of that, because you have to practice these good deeds and these good manners to actually have them, right? It's not going to come if your home is broken and your mom and dad are swearing. And I know that's a lot of the cases for these kids who are running to skateboarding, because you can be a very aggressive person, like I was as a child, a hyperactive kid, an ADHD affected kid, or even people with disabilities are skateboarding with no legs, some of these people. So it's very open to anybody. But we still have to be teachers. Even our children are teachers for other kids. When we send our kids to public school and you're expecting your kid to come home shiny like a diamond, you don't know you've sent your kid to a environment where there's 99% of bad manners. How do you expect, what logic are we using to say if we send our kid to the garbage dump that he's not going to come home smelling like garbage, right? This is crazy. This is illogical. We are pretending as Muslims that this is safe to send our kids to certain environments, and they're not going to come back affected. Even on the computer, even on those certain channels that we watch, it's going to affect us because it's going to become a habit that we're used to, and then we're just going to emulate that either good or bad behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So inshallah, this is, every day is a test for the believer. You're going to run into people, and you should take advantage of those tests, no matter how small it is, to get a little bit of goodness across to someone. Yeah. Even if you're not, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect at all. I have a lot of shortcomings, but when we look at the x-ray vision into other people's homes, trust me, they have much more problems than we, even if we're the worst Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we have Islam. Mm. We can say one ayah and help someone, and we can even just talk to them about the oneness of the Creator, right? Mm-hmm. This is very powerful to some people because they never hear it all day long.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so you said some words. You said Alhamdulillah, which means all praise to the Creator of the heavens and earth, in Arabic Allah. You said Islam. So you actually, for people who are tuning in and wondering, is he Muslim? You just gave it away. Right. You are. When did you accept Islam? And then for those who are skateboarding fanatics, and now you go to the competitions, and if you're a Muslim now, you're on that pure oneness, that pure monotheism, and then you got somebody doing this voodoo stuff, you know? You see how that creeps in, the shirk, you know, the paganism, the polytheism, you know, these kind of things that, you know, we have to really be due diligent. Even in skateboarding, you see when they were coming around and doing this good luck charm, all this stuff. Right. this is something that Islam came to eradicate and educate us against that. So when did you accept Islam? And then was this in this video that we saw? Did you see other forms of shirk or any other things like this that were that parents should be aware of? Or just Muslims in general who are skateboarding?
For the Muslims out there, I know Dubai did some big stuff. They did an X Games in Dubai quite some time ago, right? So it's been established there. There's actually a charity in Afghanistan, which to me, I have other opinions, but I'll let you know. It's called Skatistan, where they've set up a skate parks in different places in Kabul, in the big cities in Afghanistan. And they're allowing kids a mode of expression in these, you know, places which are war-torn, for the children to express themselves and to be together with other children, right? So it has a good point, and to me it has a different point, because there's a lot of girls who are in there and there's a lot of mixing going on in there, and that's a different topic. But I mean, overall, helping kids in any method, and I believe skateboarding is a good mode of expression, but the disclaimer is still there of, be careful of the subcultures that are involved in skateboarding. There's subcultures, and there's open Satan practices on one side, which is obvious. is very obvious. So just be aware of that and don't get sucked into that. Find your friends who are the good ones. You guys, like the Muslim has an unfair advantage actually in skateboarding, right? The Muslim has an unfair advantage in all sports, to be quite honest, as we see with Habib, as we see with other great champions who are Muslims. What's their advantage? One, they have the power of the creator of on their side. Two, they don't do any of these weekend warrior type of antics after they win. You know, after they win, they have a hamburger. They don't go to the nightclub and you know, tear it down all night, right? This is not something we want to do. So if we want to be Olympic level skateboarders or Olympic level jiu-jitsu practitioners or et cetera, just not drinking, just not playing that entertainment game, filling that void of, you know, what am I going to do on the weekend with? Why don't you push a little further than your competitor and keep working out that weekend or practice more that weekend? And trust me, you'll see in a year, 2 years, 3 years, the people you were growing up with who sort of subscribe to that other type of life, they're going to be falling behind. There's no way you can say they're not, right? Because it takes a toll. If you're an athlete, you have to behave like an athlete. If you're a professional football player versus a professional football player who's an alcoholic on the weekend or a, you know, addicted to certain vices, then you're not going to turn out as well as the Muslims. So all the Muslims out there, stay on the deen and you can become greater than anyone because you don't have all those things pulling you down and wasting your time, truly. I mean, we all watch a show now and again and watch a movie and this and that and burn off some steam. But I mean, academically, we can move ahead faster. And this is all revolves around the deen and how easy the deen actually is. And we overcomplicate it, right? Mm-hmm. And we're drawn to those things. When you're a college student, university student, someone in a workplace, you're in an environment. You have to be aware of what's around you, right? You have to put up a force field of deen and be aware of what's going to be in that environment. Even college and university, we know a lot of people go and they come back and it's there's a new person at your door right after 3 years. He's been programmed. He's been normalized. He's been taken by Shaitan, really, right? He's been taken by the devil and temptation has overwhelmed him and he didn't have sort of the support mechanisms that or he didn't have the map of the terrain, which I'm giving people now. If I go on a vacation somewhere, if I go to Chicago, I've never been to Chicago. I'm going to call Eddie and say, Eddie, give me a map of this place so I can navigate around here without going anywhere I shouldn't go, right? So this is the same with life. If we've had certain experiences, we have to tell people. I have to give my brother something that I would want for myself. And I would want that sort of cheat sheet to whatever endeavor I was participating in, that I wouldn't fall into any traps on the way, right? So these are sort of little analogies, hopefully some people are catching on to, but they're very useful. And there's a few analogies I use in life. And one is when you see a group of a lot of people doing something in one time, right? And before you jump in the circle of all those people, critically think for a second, say, what's going on there? What's the benefit? What's the harm? You know, let's take, for example, you see a circle of 1,000 people smoking cigarettes, right? And you're an outsider and you're like, hey, kind of looks normal to me, right? One of those 1,000 people must have looked into what they're doing, right? One of those 1,000 people must, you know, so I should go join them. That's how most people are behave nowadays. They hear something so many times and they just jump in there, right?
Yeah.
You have to do your research, no matter what it is. If you're going to this college, do some research on the college. Do some research on the environment around there. How many nightclubs are there? You know, how many murders happen there or something, you know? So you have to take heed, you know what I mean? You have to be alert nowadays. You can't just walk around with your head staring at the ground and think you're going to go anywhere, right? You have to be alert of the hockey players if you're going to get into hockey, jiu-jitsu. Are they playing music all day long in the dojo, right? Like, this affects you, right? My kid was in jiu-jitsu recently. I had to pull him out because the teacher, who was very experienced and very good, I liked him, played the same tape on loop every time, and it was hypnotizing even me, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, right. So I know they put it on to keep the kids concentrated. There's some wisdom behind it, but I mean, I couldn't handle it myself, so I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
Sad, right?
Rich, solid points, man. Solid advice.
I love that.
Before we conclude, tell us, if you had the opportunity to talk with someone again, like Tony Hawk, who's now up there in age, he can see that. Is he also becoming now for the new generation that are coming up? Like, people now are forgetting who Michael Jordan, who, like, you start to get the new generation comes in, and now you got the, what you said, he was doing the 900. You got kids now doing the 40. So right. He's got up in age, and I'm sure he sees people around him that have died, you know, now to get him to think, you know, purpose of life. Why am I here? What am I living for? You know, where am I going when I die? What kind of things would he, because you obviously got turned out to Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, you know, and this is your way of thinking now is formulated by this way of life. So if you'd get a chance to talk to Tony Hawk, what would you tell him?
I would say that obviously we're all getting old in age, right? And we don't know when the time's going to come, whether it's an accident from extreme sports or whether it's walking down the street and, you know, it's your time and your heart goes. And at this time, currently in skateboarding, some of the legends, a lot of the legends and filmers and some of the, you know, the guys who work in the behind the scenes of skateboarding, yeah, they're dying. Tony's going to funerals probably every year. He's going to bury one of his friends. And I don't know what the proceedings are like, but when you know, we're told as Muslims, you know, reflect on the afterlife. And if you, to humble yourself, go and visit the grave. Go and visit the grave and look at the ground and contemplate. You're going to be in there, right? One way or the other, you're going to be in there. And another thing, for someone who doesn't have a lot of Islamic education or hasn't had time to read Quran or Hadith or even the Bible or any of these books, I would say, like Tony, he should, maybe he's averse to reading those things, right? So the fact is, before you were alive, right, to Tony Hawk, before you were here on this planet, you weren't here, right? And then you don't remember being a baby, but now you're grown up, right? So before you were nothing, right? Then you became something that you had consciousness. Then you're going to die and you're going to be nothing again. Then you're going to be revived again and you're going to have consciousness. So to say that's impossible would be to say you deny your own existence now, right? Because you were nothing before. We can agree on that. We weren't a thought before we were born, right? Then we became the baby that needed to be helped, etc. Then you're going to become old and you're going to need to be helped. Whether you're a billionaire, a multimillionaire, someone may be, you know, changing your diapers in a few years, right? And it's time to think before that time comes and to reflect on the grave. You're burying people every day. Remember, you were nothing. So a lot of people say, man, when we die, we're just going to become, it's blackness. You know, the dream is over. But it's another analogy is when you're dreaming and you wake up and you felt like that was real, right? It's the same thing when you die. You're going to just go to sleep into a dream state. You're going to wake up in the grave. And depending on how you were as a human being here on Earth and the religion you follow and the truth that you followed and the creator that you followed, then you will be judged accordingly, even in the grave. So I wish him the best. I can't say he's not an intellectual man. So the intellectual side is there. And it just comes down to make an effort. Know the people who are around you. Know that one third of this entire planet is Muslim, and you do business in Muslim countries for sure, right? Your products are in Muslim countries. Like, we know sex sells, we know this skull and crossbone sells and stuff, and it's just sort of a trend maybe in skateboarding. Maybe they don't even contemplate this, right? So my message to Tony is get to know a Muslim, go into a masjid. Wear a mask. No one's going to recognize you. Nobody wants to take your picture in the masjid and expose you that you're coming to, you know, learn about Islam or something, right? It's like, do your due diligence on the side, do a little secret project, do what you can do, but learn. Learning is good. Learning about the afterlife is good. And the key conditions of being a Muslim are two simple things. You believe in one God, right? You believe in one creator. You believe that creator that created the sun and the moon and the universe and the stars that we see at night was not a man, right? Very simple. It's some superhuman being that you can't even fathom. And that one day you're going to be in the afterlife. These are two simple conditions. I know there's more conditions to being Muslim, but for someone who wants to know, like Tony, to believe in the creator And to believe that after you die, you will be resurrected and judged is something to start on, right? We have to start there.
Beautiful. So, thank you. And this is coming from a veteran of the skateboarding sport, skateboarding for almost over 30 years now.
30 years plus now, Eddie.
30 years plus. So yeah, we're getting a message to Tony Hawk. I want to thank you for sharing that us, giving some great points and things for people to reflect and ponder over. Thank you so much. Next time, we're going to have to get you back to get your actual story, inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. Anytime, Eddie, anytime. I know you're a busy man. Everyone's busy. But I would like that, inshallah. There's a lot of points I would like to make to some newcomers coming to Islam and the transition and the things that you go through. And yeah. It's always a good boost sometimes for other brothers to hear something from a revert, right?
Absolutely.
From my experience. And my son also wanted to tell you guys Ayatul Kursi, but he's in the other room. Yeah. So maybe next time we can meet my son as well.
Sounds good.
Inshallah.
Thank you, Zain. Very nice talking with you. Jazakallah khair.
You too, brother.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.